Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and once again, the blessing of just being in church. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 9 down to verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, as we start our study on angelology, or the doctrine of angelic beings. There's so many thoughts, no doubt, that everyone has concerning this. And can I tell you, the truth about spirits, the truth about angels, needs to be based upon the facts of the Word of God. The only one who truly understands the spiritual kingdom and the angels that God created is God. And what He has revealed to us about the spiritual kingdom. And so, starting with looking here in the book of Colossians, go ahead and stand with me. As Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, he brings out some thoughts concerning the spiritual kingdom and angels and all the other things that are taking place. And after he has an introduction here in chapter 1, in verse 9, he says this: "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will," the Lord Jesus Christ, "in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." We have to have this spiritual understanding to really be fruitful and increase in the knowledge of God. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." That's who we are. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." So believers have been translated into another kingdom. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." What a powerful passage of Scripture. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we bow before You. Love You, Lord God. Thank You for loving us, and thank You for Your precious Word, how You have preserved it exactly the way that You want us to have it today. As we study what You have given to us, we can understand all things. We can have an understanding of not only the things that we see with our naked eye, but we can also have an understanding of things we cannot see, the spiritual understanding. And so I pray tonight, as we get into this study and what You have given to us concerning angelology, I just pray, God, that You would just strengthen each and every one of us by this understanding of this truth. And because of this, that we'll be able to even accomplish even greater things, because our faith will be increased with this knowledge of all spiritual things. Bless now in the study and the preaching of Thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Can I say there are many different philosophies concerning the existence of angels. There's a lot of different philosophies concerning spiritual things. But God, who knows, has revealed what we have need to know in His Word. There was a scientist in the 19th century, his name was William Cook, and he made a statement that I found kind of interesting. He said, "We have abundant evidence of universal belief in the existence of spiritual intelligence. For the most part, humanity across the board believes in some kind of spiritual existence, things we cannot see." Hollywood has their version of it. Most people, what they have, their belief on spiritual things comes from shows or something they've watched. And whether it be Ghostbusters or other type of weird things that have nothing to do with what the Bible says, but it's intriguing for them to watch something that reveals people coming back from the dead and this spirit and that spirit and things you can't, all the different, there's so many different things taking place. Even the science agrees on this idea that there is universal belief in the existence of spiritual intelligence. It comes from somewhere. It ranges in different orders between man and his maker or God. Here we often find truth draped in fiction. That's Hollywood. They'll take the existence of a spiritual kingdom and then they'll put their spin on it and then they'll produce it and in a way that will direct people in their thoughts of angels or spirits or heaven. Some of the stuff out there now is blasphemy, I guarantee you that. And some things that even some Christians might even be watching today on television are not worth giving that opportunity to cause you to doubt the Word of God or to cause you to believe something that is not true. So often find it draped with fiction and facts distorted by the wildest fancies of mythology. It's always been something. I mean, we go back to Greek mythology and all the different gods and a god of everything that you can think of and how that these gods had relationships with humanity and all the different things. None of that is Bible. There have been heathen philosophers and poets who have often spoke of these spiritual beings. I read of Socrates, and they say that he often spoke of a good demon directing him. That's an oxymoron. There are no good demons. And even Plato, he often spoke of a demon who was appointed his guardian. Yeah. I'll tell you, we have to be careful there. So as we study the doctrine of angels, we must allow the scriptures to teach us. And God has given us quite a bit, as we'll see in just a minute. I'll go over some things with you here. But here in the passage that we just read, he says in verse 9, he says here, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will," of His will. Knowing God's will for your life in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We have to understand spiritual things to know the will of a spiritual God. And God is spirit. Amen. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." You have to have this a correct understanding of spiritual things to be able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you don't have a good understanding of spiritual things, you'll not increase in your knowledge of a spiritual God. Verse 13, he says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." That means that there is a power of darkness that will hold you captive and that will do you harm if you don't understand it. who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translate us, meaning that we have a spiritual kingdom within us. Part of the spiritual kingdom is the Holy Spirit of God. You have it birthed within you when you get saved. You're part of this human kingdom, the physical world that we're living in, but as you are saved, then you are also a part of a spiritual kingdom. You have God in you. That is a spiritual understanding. Satan would love to blind you to that. You have the power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Amen. Wow. When you understand the Godhead, you will also be wowed when you understand that God loves you enough that he has devised a plan by which we can be delivered from the power of the darkness, the power of Satan, and be translated into this spiritual kingdom. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Yeah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As we look to this, there's no doubt that Paul is writing to the church here, and he wants them to have this understanding of spiritual things. The Bible is not addressed to angels. It does not enter into an exhaustive study on them. But God does teach us what we need to know. The Bible is directed to you and I, believers. It's the Word of God, preserved by God for us, that we might have the knowledge of God and of all the things that God wants us to know about. So understand that. The Bible does not give us a full, exhaustive study. But what the Bible does give us helps us in a tremendous way to be able to accomplish what the Bible says that we ought to accomplish in living and serving God. God proclaims, the Bible proclaims the creation of all things. Before the introduction of time, God created angels. Before the introduction of time. Can I tell you that God designed time for humanity? Before humanity, there was no understanding of time. It's eternal. After humanity, there will be no more time. Time will be eliminated. There's no need for it in eternity. That in itself kind of blows our minds, if you will, to understand we are raised, everything about our life has to do with time. But there's coming when there will be no more time. Time will be eliminated. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. The one thing that we need to understand, I'm going to try to get across tonight, is that the reality of a spiritual kingdom, the reality of angels. God proclaims the creation of all things. Look at verse 16. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created. That's what the Bible's saying. All things created, that were created, that are in heaven. Okay, so that goes back to eternity past, without before time. What's in heaven was created by God in this heavenly dimension, this heavenly kingdom, and that are in earth. So we have an earthly kingdom, and everything that is visible that we see was created by God. That are in earth, visible, and also on earth that we have to deal with is that which is invisible. There is a spiritual dimension that the naked eye cannot see, but God reveals it to us. The invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. What kind of power does an angel have? What kind of power does a fallen angel have? Those are things that we need to study and see what the Bible says about it. But all things were created by him and for him. That means even the fallen angels were not created evil. Satan, as Lucifer, was not created evil. He was created good, but he was created with a free will. And because of a spirit of a free will, even in angels, he rebelled against God. But he was created by him and for him. Before humanity was created, spiritual beings were created. As we have a better understanding of what God created, we'll have a greater appreciation for the life of Christ. The almighty life of Christ that created all things humbled himself to come in the form of a man to pay and to do something that no other man could ever do. He would be the only one that could do what he did, and there would be sacrifices made, and he would humble himself before man, even to the place to allow man to crucify him on a cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. The creator of all things became man for humanity. When you understand that, you'll have a greater appreciation for your salvation. Yeah. Verse 16, he created all things. All things were made by him. In the book of John, we find that John reveals to us, and you know the scripture, but let me just read it to you. John chapter 1, verses 1 down to verse 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. The Word was Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know the Word that he's talking about here was Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Anything that was created by him. That's who he is. That's who he was in man's flesh. Almighty God. In human flesh. In the book of Genesis in chapter 1, the beginning of all things, we find here the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. So if we look at this Bible and know this is the very words of God and he's preserved it for us, one of the things that we have to get to wrap our minds around and by faith believe is that God created. And he created all things for him, for his pleasure. Before mankind, he created angels and the life that is in heaven, the creatures in heaven. The Bible mentions them. We don't really know what they are and just how they're going to affect us when we get to heaven, but we know that they're there. And whatever creatures, whatever's in heaven, God created that for his pleasure. The spiritual kingdom. And he created humanity. He had a purpose for everything that he created. Because that's what the Bible says. If you go back there in verse 16, he says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality, powers, all things were created by him and for him. For him. He had a purpose for everything that he created. Verse 17, he is before all things. There's no beginning to God. He is the no beginning or no end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. Everything else has been created. It was created by him. Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, let me just read it to you. Just giving you what some of the things the Bible says about angels. Okay, it might be addressing different things, but it gives us insight into angelology if you study these different things. In Psalms in chapter 90 and verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." You formed it all. You created it all. Everything that is seen, visible and invisible. Yeah. He created it. All things consist. And by him, his power, all things consist. Christ holds all things together. Somehow or another, the gravitational pull that we know is present on planet Earth, and we know it's what separates the planets from the sun and causes the planets to rotate around the sun. And all that, can I tell you that our God is so big that he holds it all together. The spiritual kingdom, if you will, is in control of everything that we can visibly see. It is held together, and it's all designed by a spiritual presence, yeah, which is our God. If you believe in God, you must believe in angels. Angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament. 165 times in the New Testament. 165. And just the amount of things that God gives us in the New Testament, he presents more things about the angels than he did in the Old Testament. Because they're more a part of our lives. Because we are spiritual beings as well. Once you get saved, you have the kingdom of God in you through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1. This is just things that the Bible tells us. Hebrews in chapter 1 gives us the definition of an angel. Are angels spirits of men and women? No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. It's a different kingdom, created for a different kingdom, dimension. A dimension that we can't see in the naked eye, but it's all around us. I love that description of God in heaven and the dimension of God. It's like the ocean, what the ocean is to a fish. He wouldn't be able to survive without it, but he doesn't realize that he's in the ocean. We wouldn't be able to survive without everything being consisted by God and everything that we have in this spiritual kingdom. We wouldn't be able to live without it, but we somewhat, because we don't visibly see it, we don't think about it. Sometimes we don't even believe it exists. Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, a definition of angels. Verse 13, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Jesus Christ was never an angel. Amen. As we know it, as he was God, he is God. And they are all ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now that ought to cause us to have a great hallelujah, because I'm an heir. If you're saved, you're an heir of salvation. And if you're an heir of salvation, then you have ministering angels that God puts over you, that ascribes to you to watch out for you, to look over you. Are there not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So they're ministering spirits. So there is a spiritual world or kingdom, and there is a physical world. or kingdom. The spiritual kingdom is the first of God's creation. Very little is recorded about it, except what we need to know. Now let me give you, and we'll be getting into this more as we go through this study, but first of all, the creation of the spiritual spirit, the spiritual kingdom, are angels. The spiritual kingdom is what Jesus created first. Then he created a material kingdom. The material kingdom is things you can see. Then he created an animal kingdom. The animal kingdom is different from the material kingdom. And then he created human kingdom. Now, a lot of people get confused because he created the animals first and more than likely from the dust of the earth. And so they have somewhat of the very same design of a physical body as humans have a design of the physical body. They have blood flowing through the veins. They have a heart. They have organs. They have all these, but they're animals because they were not created in a way that God created the humanity. The animal kingdom is quite different than the human kingdom. The animal kingdom was created in kinds. And it's impossible for one kind to evolve into another kind. Now, there is evolution within the kind. There's no doubt about that. We have seen that. But there has never been an evolution of one kind evolving into another kind. That will never happen. That's what the Bible reveals to us, after their kind. And then God, after everything else was in place, animals were put on this earth for our pleasure. God wanted to bless humanity. Amen? Then he created the human kingdom, designed after the image and likeness of God. With an eternal spirit. When an animal dies, they're dead. They don't have a spirit that goes on to doggy heaven. Or or a cat's hell. I don't know. They're just not. That's an animal. There's no difference from that cat or that dog than that pig that you eat or that cow that you eat, amen? It's just a different kind of animal, but it's still an animal. Our society today is putting more time and effort into saving animals more than saving humanity. The Bible says God's crown of creation was his last and final act of creation, humanity. Yeah. Revelation chapter 12. The spiritual kingdom is the first of God's creation. That's where angels come in. We understand that the Bible reveals concerning angels that they were archangels or head angels that God put over other angels. There would be in the book of Revelation in chapter 12, we find, and there was war in heaven amongst the angels that God had created. Michael and his angels. So we find the first archangel that we have here named Michael. And he has a following of angels that do his bidding. God does everything decently in order. And so he has an archangel, Michael, and his angels, and they fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So who is this dragon? We're going to see this dragon's the devil, but he started out as being Lucifer, an archangel, which was good as he was created. But he was given a third of the angels in heaven to be able to be under his authority. And it goes on to say, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Those are the fallen angels. Those are the demons that we have to contend with, even in humanity in this 21st century. Now, if you look with me to Isaiah chapter 14, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we need to wrap our understanding and beliefs around. Isaiah chapter 14. And you'll find here one of the reasons that I do not like the NIV Bible or any other translation that calls itself a Bible. I believe you can glean from man's understanding of what the Bible says, but do not allow them to take words out of the Bible and tell you it's a better interpretation. If we went by the NIV Bible, you would never have the word Lucifer in your Bible. It's only found here this one time. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 14. And it's helping us to see that Lucifer was one of the archangels created for good. God has never created anything evil, but he created with a free will. Angels have a free will. And we find here the archangel, and how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now we take that with what the Revelation gives us, and we understand that there was war in heaven. And so Lucifer is Satan. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart the reason that how he rebelled against God. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is the very sin nature that has been passed down to each and every one of us. It's after the nature of the devil himself. That's why foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, because we all are born with this sin nature, and that's the nature after a fallen angel named Lucifer. And all of us are guilty of those very same things unless we get a handle on it, unless we reject it. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So we find there, that's the only mention of Lucifer, which we know to be the dragon or Satan himself. And then we find the third, Luke in chapter 1. As far as we know, this is only three that God names for us. These are the names of those that would have been archangels or having other angels under them in God's positioning of authority. In Luke in chapter 1, verse 19, is the angel that came to Zacharias to inform him that his wife was going to give birth to John the Baptist. The Bible says in verse 19, and the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. We have Michael, we have Lucifer, and we have Gabriel. Only three names given to angels that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Look over to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, after he was sent to give tidings of John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. That's Gabriel. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, these three archangels, so we come up with the idea of division of angels under the archangels, a third of the angels under each one of these archangels, and Satan being turned against God, and those angels that followed him were cast out of heaven to where they abide on this earth that we live in. But the Bible also says over here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, now those are the archangels. In Hebrews in chapter 12, it gives us an insight here in verse 22 when it says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. There's so many that man cannot number them. an innumerable company of angels. Look down to verse 28. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God. Talking about now is talking about the believer. He says, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace in this, now that we're in the human kingdom, but through salvation, we have been given a part of the kingdom of God. And as we live on this earth, we have been given grace whereby we may serve God. Serving God, knowing and understanding this spiritual kingdom, and knowing that we have the Spirit of God inside of us, and knowing that there are angels all around us, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. They're very much a part of our lives. Most of the time, and most will never come in contact with an angel unaware, but we are in contact with angels every day. We're in contact with good, holy angels, as are the messengers of God. We also come in contact with the fallen demons of Satan. When someone is blinded to the reality of a spiritual kingdom, Satan has a great victory. One of the reasons we're going into this, I want you to have a biblical understanding of a spiritual kingdom. Have a biblical understanding of what the Bible teaches us concerning angels, whether they be holy angels. We have to understand holy angels, and then we'll get into somewhat of a fallen angel, demonology. But you have to understand angelology. You have to understand the creation of angels. If you don't believe in angels, then you're more likely not to believe in heaven. And you won't believe in hell. No God, no reason to live a holy life. But there is a God. And he is holy. And there are holy angels that are looking to minister and to help guide our existence. There's spiritual warfare taking place in our lives, all around us. You can sense it. You'll be able to sense being around an evil influence, and you'll be able to sense the influence of a holy angel that'll come over you and give you a sense of peace, a refreshing, if you will, if you're aware of it. If you're not aware of it, you'll be blinded to it. And God would have us to be aware of the spiritual kingdom. There is a spiritual kingdom. And we need to know everything that God wants us to know about the reality of the existence of angels. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, that's as far as we'll go tonight. Don't be confused by Hollywood. Don't be confused by religion. Don't be confused by philosophies. You don't have to be, because we have been given the truth in the Word of God. As we study it, we'll be given the insight that we have need of to live the life that God would have us to live, that which is pleasing to God.